Here we go. I want to apologize. If I start looking confused, I started a lesson basically with the same title, and I got to a point and I couldn't go any farther with it. The whole reason I couldn't go any farther with it was because I got talking about myself more than about what I've done in my past, and I just didn't feel comfortable, or didn't figure you guys wanted to hear that much about me. Is the main reason I quit doing it. But the question is, are you ready for your journey into eternity? Or are you sure where you will be in eternity? I got started on my lesson because I was watching a show the other night. Some of you may have seen it, some of you haven't. It's the Matrix trilogy. And at the end, they had the character that was always helping somebody, trying to get to his point, get to what he wanted to be. And they asked her, they said, well, did you always know? And she said, no, but I believed. So that got me thinking. And then, like I said, I went through, I had about three or two pages of things that I believed. And I thought, well, I need to get off of what I believe and actually go back to what the Bible says, which matched. But like I said, I didn't figure you guys wanted to hear it all about what I believed. But if you're thinking about your eternal life, are you sure where you're going to be when your life is over? I mean, the Bible tells us that we can know for sure. And that comes out of 1 John 5:13. And I do apologize, I didn't have it marked this morning. First John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son, in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So he's telling us right there that we can know that we're going to have eternal life as long as we're believing in the Bible, as long as we're following His word and doing what He wants us to do. So I know sometimes when you're a new Christian that sometimes you may fall back and actually take and kind of fall back into that human thought thinking that it's all up to you. But we need to remember that it's not all on us. That it actually is because of God and His grace that we have this chance. Some of the answers that this individual that I'm using, it's that if you got into heaven and God or Jesus asked you, why should I let you in? And some of the answers he had was, well, I kept the Ten Commandments. I attended church regularly. So I was there every night. Anytime the doors was open, I was there. I was a good moral person. I was a good neighbor. Which these are similar answers that imply an understanding of your salvation. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, you're supposed to attend church, but is it supposed to be at a forced attendance or a want-to attendance? You're supposed to be a good moral person, but is it because you're fearing what is to come, or is it because that's just who you are? Because if it's in your heart, you're going, and the gospel's in your heart, you're going to be a good person. But if you're doing it out of the fear of what's to come, of what you're going to be dealing with in eternity, then that's where there's an issue. And we know that the whole reason that we have eternal life is because of grace. We have a need for grace, and because the Bible teaches that we have all sinned. And what is sin? It's a violation of God's law. A sin is anything that violates what God has put down for us not to do. Basically, if God says don't do it, if you do it, you're breaking His law. You're sinning against God. Or it could be the point, not the point you you're doing something against God's law, but maybe you're not doing what God wants us to do. You're failing in what He wants us to do. You're failing in what is right. And we know that if you're dealing with sin, that there is, and we see in the Bible, that it describes the consequences of that sin. And the wages of sin is death. And that comes out of Romans 6 and 23. And then when it talks about, it actually talks about the type of death that we will have if we're sinning and falling away from God. And that comes in, and that's in Revelation 21 and 8. Revelation verse 21, or chapter 21 and verse 8. It says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns of fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So we know that if we're not following God's law, if we're not following God's will, that tells us what our death's going to be like. That tells us what the death, what our death was going to be like before we became Christians. I know when I was younger and was still not a Christian, I used to say, and I look back on it now and it's like, well, I was telling the truth, but I really didn't. It was a joke at the time. Somebody had asked me where I was going. My reply was, to hell if I don't change my ways. To think about that now, I'm going, yeah, I knew what I was doing then, or I didn't realize what I was saying then because I hadn't become a Christian yet. But I was telling the truth. And when you look back and you see something like that in your life, then it makes you wonder, what else did you know that you should have been paying attention to? But we don't have to worry about that sin. Once we become a Christian, then we take and go and are baptized, then we know that Jesus' blood is going to wash that away from us. That we're going to take, and we're not going to have to worry about that death that we just read about. We're going to have eternal life up in heaven with God. And it's just because of Him. It's not because of anything that we can ever do. That all comes from God. It's His grace and His mercy that takes care of us and gives us that gift. And we can see that in Romans 6 and verse 23. If I can get my fingers working. I do apologize. Well, still had two pages stuck together. But Romans 6 and 23 is talking about the mercy that we receive from God. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So it's a free gift. And who doesn't want something free? I mean, you give me something free, I'm probably going to take it. I may not need it. I may have to give it to somebody else to actually get some use out of it, but you give me something, say, here, this is free, I'm going to take it and figure out if I need to use it, if I can use it later. Or if somebody else down the road, because if it's free, you're giving it away, it's probably something that you're going to get rid of if you don't find somebody to take it. So a lot of times I take things that are free. But back to as far as the grace that comes, we know that grace came, and it came at a very high price. That grace came is just like when we're taking the Lord's Supper, it came because of Jesus' death. We receive that grace from God because Jesus went to the cross. He died and was resurrected and came back to life, which is what resurrected means. I'm I know I'm doubling up there, but just for that, because of what he did, we have that gift. We have that chance to be God's people, to take and be up in heaven with him for eternity, to take and enjoy the love that he has for us, which we know cannot be, there's no way to quantify it using the human terms. I mean, no matter what your, how high you can count, God's love is well beyond anything that we can count. I know with Maylee we'll go, I love her back and forth with Bo more than Maylee yet now, but I love you more, I love you most, and back and forth. But God loved us the most of all because he was willing to take and give us his son to take and die on the cross, to take and come down to this earth and give us an example of how we should live, how we should take and try and do in our lives. Yet he took and did that knowing what God, what he was going to have to go through just because he loved us, and to give us that grace, that chance to be up in heaven. Now the question is, how do you receive this grace? We kind of covered that a little bit, but number one, you have to believe in Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus, and belief is something, and I wish I'd have kept my other, belief is actually knowing something. You can see it, you can feel it, you know that that's your belief. When faith is considered, is actually a belief, is a belief in something unseen. But to believe in Jesus, you can believe in Jesus because, number one, you have the Bible. Right here, it tells us all about Jesus, but some people say it's just a good book. Somebody done a great job writing this book and writing all these stories down. But you can look back in our history and find out there was a Jesus. There was a Jesus from Nazareth. So, I mean, that, so you can, you know, you can believe that there was a Jesus. You can believe that because of what we see between our secular history and what's in the Bible, that what is in the Bible is true. It's been proven over and over that what's in the Bible is true, whereas some of the things that we thought we knew is not true. They'll tell you that this place doesn't exist, but if they keep digging long enough, they'll find it, and it's already been wrote down here in the Bible. They've already told us, God's already told us, this place exists, this people existed, and human is, nah, we couldn't find them. Well, 10 years later, they found them. So we can believe in Jesus. It's not something that we're just making up. It's not something that a fallacy or some feel good story. It is actually, there is a fact that there was a Jesus and he did live. To also receive his or to receive this grace, we need to repent of our sins. That means we need to take and go back and be willing to change what we're doing. Repent doesn't mean please forgive me for what I did, but it also means I'm going to try and change my life so I don't do that again. Now, we're going to fail at that. It's going to happen at some time. We're going to have a weakness, and we may fail because we have all sinned and fallen short of God. And even if we try, sometimes we're human. We're going to fail. But we need to remember that God and Jesus are there for us, and that his blood, Jesus' blood, is continually washing us once we become a Christian. That as long as we're trying to do our best, trying to take and remain in his sight, then we're going to be washed free. We're going to continually to be cleansed. And the next thing we need to do is we need to take and confess. Confess the faith that we do have in Jesus. We need to take and come up and confess and tell people, I believe in Jesus. I believe in what he did for me. I believe in what he's done for the world. Because he did it for me, he did it for you, but he did it for everybody. Because he wants everybody to be there in heaven with him. He doesn't want just a few. He doesn't want us to take and go ahead and, okay, well, I've got my 30, 40 people here. Now don't tell anybody else about it. He wants us to go out and spread the word to everybody. He wants us to confess our faith to everyone so they know that he is here. And hopefully, by doing that, some little seed, some little prick of the heart will finally take hold, and then they will take and come to know what God has done for us. And the final point is, what else do you need? What do you need to do to receive that grace? Is you need to be baptized. You need to go down in the water and take and be baptized in his blood, in his death, and take and actually be back to take and come up a new creature. A creature that is spotless, that's blameless in his sight. Why? Because his blood is washed. He washed everything free. He got rid of anything we did in our past, which is hard for us to deal with. I know, or it's hard for me to deal with, I'll put it that way. It's hard for me to forget what I did 10 years ago. But Jesus and God forgets. They don't bring it back up. It's not going to take and all of a sudden you get up to heaven and, well, you know, you did this once. Well, back when you were 15, you did this. No, once you're baptized, he forgets it. It's wiped clean. And that is just unbelievable, because that's where it's great that we can remember what we've done in our past. But sometimes I think it is a hindrance, because we can't forgive ourselves for things that God's already forgiven us for. I know I've done it in the past, that I will start thinking, how's he going to forgive me for this? And then it clicks. He's already done it. It's not how is he going to. He's already done it. He can forgive us for anything if we are his children. If we have followed the steps that he wants us to do, that we are living our life the way he wants us to live it, then we're free and clear. That sounds great to me, to take and remain, that to know that I can be up in heaven and know for sure that if something happened right now, if I had a massive heart attack right now, that to know that I could be in heaven, that I would be in heaven with God. That is such a great feeling, to know that as long as you take and follow what God wants you to do, that you can know where you're going to be in eternity. To know that I'm not going to have to take and worry about the fire and brimstone that we read about in Revelations. To know that I'm not going to have to worry about suffering the rest of my life. And you don't either. That's the glory of it. Because as long as we do what God wants us to do and remain faithful to Jesus, to remain in his, after we're baptized, to remain in, and keep doing what he wants us to do, to keep striving to be more like him on a daily basis. And we can do that by reading the Bible, by taking, being at church, listening to others, and just remember that we can't be there alone. We can't get there on our own, because if we could get there on our own, we wouldn't have to be here this morning. We have, number one, we've got to have God in our lives. We've got to have Jesus in our lives. We have to take, but we also need to remember that the people that we have here in this auditorium and the people who are around the world that are Christians are there to help us. It's one of the hardest things probably for a human to do, is to actually take and ask somebody for help. Because that normal feeling that we have is to take and say, oh, I can do it. I can do this on my own. I can take care of myself. But just to take and remember that we are all here for each other. To remember that we're here to help each other through the hard times. And sometimes it may just be the point of giving somebody a pat on the back, saying good job, telling them that could make all the difference in the world in somebody's day. But remember that just because you're able to take and give somebody, make somebody feel better today, give them, just remember that you can give them the same chance if you'll come to them and ask them for help as well. Because it is a blessing for each and every one of us to be able to help each other along along that way. Because I want to see every one of you in heaven. I want to take and see, I'd love to see the whole world in heaven, to have everybody there knowing that we are all children of God and that we will be able to have eternity with Him. So, like I said, this was kind of a conglomeration of two lessons, but I hope you did learn something from it this morning. And if at any time that anyone does need any help from the church, from any individual in this church, I'm sure all you got to do is make a phone call, get a hold of them, and they'll be there to help you. If at this time, if anybody needs prayers to the church, or if they need help of any kind, if they want to study the Bible more, to learn more about God's Word and more about His grace, I wish you'd please come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.